Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So good. Hey, it is great to be here, and fantastic to see church full again. I know Pastor Andy is away with the Bannard family, and so Pastor Andy, just looking down the interwebs right now, the place is still here, and it's packed. Why don't you give a cheer for Pastor Andy? And Cass, that was ear-splitting. I know they are watching this morning. The title of my message this morning is Make Room at the Table. And I think I'm preaching in the right church this morning because this is a church that knows how to make room at the table, make room for people who are perhaps less fortunate than us and perhaps are going through something. I think that we are in a great church. We're in a great place. I remember we were there. Just give us a little wave if last week you were in church on Sunday morning. Just, yes, fantastic. You get frequent flyers for coming twice in a row. Well done. Pastor Matt Burt preached last Sunday morning. How good was Pastor Matt? That was excellent. And Pastor Matt, it was a very, very good word. And then there was a moment. There was honestly a moment in his message, and you all know what I'm going to refer to, when Pastor Matt began to talk about his AFL dream, began to talk about how he'd been progressing through the ranks, had this dream as a teenager, and then it got injured, and but was in the draft, and then didn't get picked up, and how he had to overcome this disappointment. And I mean, isn't that part of life? Is having a dream, and then sometimes that dream not quite turning out how you'd hoped it would, and you have to overcome the disappointment of that. But then seeing success, maybe redefining success, and now Matt and Holly becoming these incredible youth pastors. I just wanted to show on the screen, CXL, what I think success looks like. Look at that. How's that? This was just a couple of weeks ago. Like I said, last week was Be the Love and all the surf stuff that I think the week before, or might have been the week before that, was the inaugural LMC footy match with the Bethlehem Bulldogs and the Jerusalem somethings. Giants? Jets? Something. It was a phenomenal. And honestly, I mean, it's a great picture. But as you redefine success, I was thinking about this, we'll leave that picture up there. Honestly, Matt, that's what success looks like. Like, that's winning the hearts and minds of young blokes. Right there. That picture there is better than a Brownlow. Who reckons? That's, that picture there says to me there's a group of young blokes who are getting raised up by this fella here. And I think that that's what winning looks like. When we redefine what winning looks like, as well as that, there was actually the most incredible moment. If you were there on the sidelines or if you watched it, there was an incredible moment of AFL in that game. Probably the finest moment of AFL that I've ever seen in my life, and I'm a big footy watcher. There was a moment where Matt Burt scooped up the ball, took a couple of steps, kicked it 25 metres, realised that he kicked it to the wrong place, ran 25 metres while the ball was still in the air, and took a contested mark, turned around and lined up in the pocket for goal. The umpire came out and said, "Mate, I'm not sure you can do that." And Matt replied, "You can today." Lines up and boots a beautiful goal, one of six, mind you. I thought that was actually one of the finest moments of AFL I've ever seen. So, you can win and you can win. So we want to thank you, in all seriousness, Matt and Holly, we want to thank you for all you do. And every parent in the place gave a round of applause for Matt and Holly. Now, for some of you, this is going to be a little bit offensive, this message. Is that okay? I know we've got the kids in the room. It's going to be a little bit offensive because I'm going to talk about winning. And I know for some people, there's that cynical edge that some people have. As soon as I talk about winning, there's people who go, it's not healthy, wealthy, and rise, son. And that's not what I'm talking about. I understand that life is a full climb up a hill. That there are mountains to be conquered and they're tough. I understand that sometimes you climb up a hill, you've got a dream, you want to be in the AFL, and then you don't that dream doesn't happen. You've got a dream for something in a relationship and then that doesn't happen. You've got a dream for your kids and then it doesn't happen. I understand that life is a battle uphill. But there are words in the Bible that tell us that we are more than conquerors. Romans tells us we are more than conquerors. Put your hand on your heart and just say, I'm a winner. I reckon there's about 60% of people who couldn't do it this morning. Put your hand on your heart and declare it over you. I am a winner. Because you are. In the end, we win. In the end, we conquer. In the end, Jesus is victorious. In the end, we are raised up with Jesus in heavenly places. We win in the end. And right now, although I know that there's lots of negative headlines all across the media and all across this nation, all across the world, there are so many negative headlines about Christianity or about people of faith or about this or about that, or just the world feels like it's shaking, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like politics is mad, feels like the world is at war with itself, feels like ideologies are at war with each other. The world is a crazy place right now. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against politicians. In fact, the Word of God says that we're to pray for politicians. So we should be doing that. Pray for our leaders. Praying for politicians. It doesn't say what to pray. You can pray for they enjoy their early retirement if you want. But you know, we are to pray for our leaders. I just want to show you a couple of things in just a second. And I don't do this to... I promise you, this is not, I don't need anything from you. This is not about boasting. But I want to show you that in amongst all of the negative headlines and all the chaos, that Jesus is winning. I work for an organization called Youth Alive. And I've been there for a long time, obviously, since I was young. But I've worked for this organization. We go for souls. We try to reach into the darkest places and into the furthest corners of the younger generation. A couple of weeks ago, we put on an event, our first ever event for young adults. And we prayed for 400 young adults to turn up. And we budgeted for about 450. And we really, really hoped 500 would come. Thanks, Al. Let's just have a look. That was 1,000 young adults turning up on a Tuesday night to worship Jesus. A few months ago, we put on an event for teenagers. And we hoped that 3,500 would come. And we prayed and budgeted for 4,000 to come. Thanks, Al. Let's have a look at the next one. We believed for 4,000 to come and 4,500 came. We had to stop selling tickets with about half a week to go because we'd sold out by 15% over. I'm involved in a thing called Youth Alive Academy where we train up the next generation of youth and youth leaders and youth pastors and chaplains. And we started with 9 students and we went to 11 and then we went to about 15. And then we prayed and said, God, could we see 25? And then this happened. We have 45 students turn up to be trained. You know, I say this not to boast and not to draw attention to the ministry that I'm involved in. I don't care if you forget the name. I don't care if you never come. What I do care about you understanding is that God is winning. God is turning up in powerful way, that young people are getting saved all over this state, all over this city, and all over this nation, that adults, through the incredible work that Nick is doing and that the church is doing, that we're participating in, as we make room in our hearts for people are coming to Christ. It's a phenomenal thing. Don't ever listen to the headlines and go, no, it's all too much, it's all too hard. Oh, the census says that we dropped a few percent of nominal Christians because there was a multi-million-dollar campaign by the atheists for people to tick the no religion box. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference to what we actually are seeing. People's hearts are turning towards Christ. We're in a season of winning. Everyone, put your hand on your heart again and say, I'm a winner. We win in the end. Come with me to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, just put your finger in that for a second. I'll give you a little summary. 2 Samuel, the first few chapters is about King David. King David has ascended to the throne. And then what happens is he begins to wage war. There's a long-running war over several years against the house of Saul. Saul was, of course, the evil king who had tried to, it was quite insane, really. He tried to spear him a couple of times, had tried to wipe him out, chased him all over the countryside. And then when King David ascends to one of the kingdoms, Saul still is in authority over the other one. And so they war against each other for a number of years until eventually King David's throne is so strong that King Saul's family members just hand it over to him, and it unifies the kingdom. We have this moment where King David rises up and finally has authority, has ownership, if you like, of the entirety of Israel as it is known now. And we have this thing where David, he then begins to wage war against the Philistines, and he defeats them. Against the Moabites, and he defeats them. Against the Edomites, and he defeats them. And the Amalekites, and he defeats them. And he has this incredible season of winning over a number of years. And it gets to this place where David is just living a victorious life. He's just living in a place of blessing. And we pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says in verse 1, is there anyone left in the family of Saul to whom I can show kindness? Is there still no one still alive in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba, that's the servant, said, there is a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he? The king answered. And Ziba answered, he is in the house of Makir. Thank you. Next one. In Lodabar. Interesting. We'll just underline that if you're an underliner. If not, just underline in the person's Bible next year. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Makir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, everyone say Mephibosheth. Now try and say it correctly, Mephibosheth. It's a tough one, isn't it? Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, so the grandson of Saul, came to David. He bowed down to pay him honor. He bowed down because he thought he was going to be wiped out. That was the way of the ancient kingdoms. Basically, if you found a living family member of, you know, the king that you had conquered, you had to wipe them out, because otherwise they one day could rise up and could wipe you out. And so he bowed down in terror, just put that in parentheses, in terror, and he bowed down to pay him honor, and David said, Mephibosheth. Thank you. Next one. At your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you, what's that word? Kindness. I think I heard the deputy principal at one of the primary schools use that word this morning. For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Next one, thank you. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? And then the king summoned Ziba's sore steward and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons will serve him. And it goes on and it says, from this point forward, Mephibosheth will eat at my table. Eat at the King's table. Now, have we got kids in the service here this morning? We've got some kids. Just give me a little wave if you've got kids. Kids, give us a little wave. Who likes lollies here in this place? Any kids here who like lollies? Okay, right, okay. Okay, great. Are there any kids whose parents like you eating lollies? Okay, there's about one hand that went up. It's great. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the King's table. And I was thinking about, maybe I should bring along a big pig with an apple in its mouth. So I got out the silverware. Look at that. You guys see that? And I thought, you know what, I'll get the best silverware because it's the King's table. And I'll get this for the sauces. I'll put that there for the sauce. Put that there. And then I remember that the kids are here. And I thought, the kids are probably going to want to have something a little bit more kid-like. And so what I thought I might do this morning is just prepare a little bit of a King's banquet for the kids. And while I do that, well, you know what? It could be for the kids. It might be for someone else. Got the little lollies here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask someone who is in my world, Josh Blacker. I'm going to ask you, Joshy, why don't you come forward, mate? I'm going to ask you, invite you to the table here. Just invite you to the table. And Josh is actually an incredible one of my students at Academy. Great young man. Just grab a seat there, bro. So maybe at the front. Yeah, down there. Like your haircut. Oh, I reckon come sit up the front so everyone can see you. What do you think of Josh's haircut? Good looking rooster, isn't he? You like Flake? Yeah. Hey, Jeff. Where are you, Jeff? Jeff is an evangelist. He's a phenomenal evangelist. He's actually one of my students from 4 years ago. My first. Jeff, why don't you... Do you like lollies? Yeah, come on up, Jeff. Come on up. You guys don't know this guy, but he's in my world. He's actually a phenomenal evangelist, street evangelist. Come grab a seat, Jeff. And not only that, travels the world. Zambia, off to Zambia, doing massive outreaches. Just a ridiculous, crazy guy. Just got married to Jay over there. So, Jeff, do you like bananas? Oh, sweet, mate. That's one for you there, right there. Where's my boy, Jed? Hey, Jeddy. Jeddy's in my world. Come on up here, Jed. Fantastic, mate. Jeddy is a rip snorter. He's an absolute ripper young fella. He loves God. He's a champion. He gets me singing all the Shakers songs in the car. Not only that, in lockdown, read the entire Bible from cover to cover in lockdown. At night, like, and took notes. Like, he's got reams of notes. Do you like marshies, don't you, mate? Like marshmallows? Great. There's a couple there for you. Sorry about your jacket. All right. It's great. Oh, we still got... This is fantastic. This is absolutely like a King's thing. Hey, Christmas. Chris, did I see you here somewhere? Where are you up there? Do you like lollies? Okay, come on down. Now, Chris, she's in my world as well. Just an amazing young woman. And bring baby with you. Come on now. Wonderful. Should we give a little fairy clap? Just a little clap? Just a little one. Okay. Great. Now, you love fish, but I imagine that you love lollies. Chris is just an incredible person. Moved here to Australia. Married Andy. I think your mum's here. Is your mum here? Oh, hi, Mum. Brilliant. All right, look at that. What do you think of that feast, Joshy? Not bad, not bad. You liking it?
Yeah.
I reckon you guys should get into it. What do you think? Come on, up and into it. Come on, just... Now, I'm going to move on. So, you guys enjoy that. All right, number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to finish soon. So, I'm going to rush through this while these guys... Just enjoy, just hang out. Hang out here, enjoy... It's brilliant. Yeah, get into it. No, don't share. No. It's for the King's table. Don't share. This is for you guys. This is for you. Maybe just share. Just, are you okay there, Chris? What can the baby eat? Duh. All right, number one. Here's the point. If you're taking notes, When it comes to winning hearts and minds, and that's what we're about, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We win hearts and minds. Where are you going, Joshy? You invited the king's table, mate. Stay here and eat. We want to see the back of your head on the YouTube video later on. It says it starts with a question. Is there anyone left to whom I can show kindness? You know, the ABC does this big survey every few years. It might be every year. It's called ABC Australia Talks. And in the Australia Talks survey, they surveyed 54,000 people, 54,000 Australians, and they found the number one thing that they thought was missing in Australia, the number one thing was kindness. The number one thing that was missing in Australia was kindness. David said this, "Is there anyone left to whom I can show kindness?" He said, bring Mephibosheth from Lodabar. Lodabar was actually a ghetto town, and what it meant was a place of no communication or a place of no pasture. It was a place where nothing grew and no one wanted to be. No one communicated. How are those lollies going, Jeff? You loving that? Don't get lollies like that in Zambia, mate. You know what we should do? I reckon what we should do is we should show a little bit of love, a little bit of kindness. What do you think of that? What about you guys go and find a kid, like maybe someone under the age of 12 years old, and invite them to the table? Hey, that's a good idea. All right, we'll let you off, Chris. You're okay. You're okay there. Oh, fantastic. Let's lift that down there. Do you like lollies? Is your mum okay with you eating lollies? Who cares? Any complaints? My name's Andy Hunt. Get into it. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on, Joey. Get into it. See, now I want you guys just to stay there. Can you guys all right just to stay there for a minute eating lollies? Is that okay? It's great. Is that okay? Here's the thing. In the church, you know, there's a story where, I love this story, Mark chapter 2, where four guys bring their mate along. They bring a mate along, they carry their mate, he's crippled, he's unable to get in. And when they get to the house where Jesus is, it says that they could not get inside the house because of the crowd. I think a great challenge for us as we come to the end of the year, we come to the happy time of year, summer, it's Christmas, it's all that sort of stuff. One of the great things for us to do is to challenge ourselves, ask ourselves that question. Start with the question, is there anyone to whom I can bring kindness? Is there someone in my world who currently has no communication, who currently has, there's nothing growing in their pasture, there's nothing about them? You see, it's interesting when they describe Mephibosheth, they say that Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. In fact, it says it about three times during this one passage. Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. It was like such a mind-bending thing that somebody could be invited to the table of the king, but they were lame. I think often we're really good as people. I was going to say Christians, but just as people, we often judge people by their actions. We let ourselves off by our intentions, but we judge other people by their actions. And we judge other people, we say, oh, we wipe them out because, oh, they're lame. Oh, they're no good at this. Oh, their relationship that. Oh, they're like this. Or they think like that. And we wipe people out and we leave them in this place called Lodabar, a place of no communication. And the challenge for us today is there anyone in your world who you can show kindness? Because if that survey is true, if Australians are saying, I just want somebody to show kindness to us, a bunch of people go, going out and doing some mulch and do it, you know, making a table and that sort of stuff. If that is enough to be mind-blowing for people, how desperate are people to be shown just a little bit of kindness? Just a little bit of kindness. And it was interesting. It wasn't just a one-off thing. He didn't say, hey, let's get that guy Mephibosheth and invite him to a big banquet and make him feel special for one night and then send him home. What David did was he set him up. He said, hey, Ziba, you now work for Mephibosheth. I'm pulling him out of the ghetto. I'm putting him at the king's table. I'm setting him up with a workforce. It says Ziba had like 25 servants and sons. And he says, right, you guys all work for him now. It was consistent. It was ongoing. And it was big-hearted and generous. I remember when we were running a youth ministry back in Perth. And the youth ministry, how you going, Jeff? You doing all right there? You guys are hammering those lollies. Well done. Hey, you know what? Do you reckon we could go and invite some other kids? There might be one or two. Just any other kids who... Why don't we do that? Let's go and invite someone else. You got a sister or a brother or someone? Josh, you got a sister or a brother? Just go and ask someone who would like a lolly. Oh, look at this. This is great. Straight into the marshes. Look, yes. Champion. He's got a winner's attitude. He came with his arms up. It's like, yes, I scored. Got the invite. That was like Mephibosheth. I reckon he came with his arms up. Just, he scored. And David set him up for life. He said, those fields now are now yours. That place at the table, that's a permanent fixture for you. Get into it. I don't like the lemon ones, eh? Or the green ones. Apple lollies are horrible. This is getting chaotic. G'day, Aiden. Another one of my students. Jeez, a good advert for Academy. It's great. So good. I feel like I might have lost the service. It's okay, though. Great. Okay, fantastic. I reckon you guys just need to take a bunch and just head back. Just take a fistful. Take one for a friend. Lick your fingers first. Because COVID no longer exists. Fantastic. We put our hands together for all our volunteers. You guys are working hard. Wow. That guy brought a big bucket. I like it. I remember when, we're running this youth ministry. And we had a young lady come to us. She says, I don't like it anymore. She says, I don't like church anymore. I says, why? She says, because it's growing. I says, what do you mean? She goes, it's growing. She was a great girl, like a love Jesus, great girl. She says, it's growing. She says, it's too big. I don't know everyone anymore. It just feels like I've lost my community. And she then, look, she's an amazing girl, and she went on and she grew out of that process. But there was a moment where she struggled with it. She said, I'm struggling to fit in anymore because things are growing. I'm struggling. And she somehow missed that point that, you know, our job here is not to create a holy club. Our job in church is not to create a holy bubble. Our job here is to create a place where when people come to the church to meet Jesus, we actually open up for them. They don't have to climb on the roof and bust a hole in the roof like those four guys and drop the dude through so that he can get to Jesus. That we are the people that open up our hearts, open up our houses, open up our minds, open up our voices and say, hey, you're welcome, come on in. And it will be a sustained thing. The kindness is not one-off, it's sustained. For me, when I was, I first really gave my life to Christ in university. And I was 19 years old and I joined a youth group at the age of 19, where a lot of people are finishing youth group. But I joined this youth group at the age of 19. And, it was a long way to go by Perth standards. In Perth, you know, if you drive 25 minutes to church, it's a long way. Hands up if you drove more than 25 minutes this morning. Yeah, right. Well done. You did. Well, it was 25 minutes and I was a uni student. And petrol was really expensive. It's 49 cents. It's true. And I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How am I going to drive 25 minutes there? And I had these two guys in my life, Joost and Richie. One was a crazy Dutchman, one was a crazy Irishman. Sounds like a good setup for a joke, doesn't it? And Joost and Richie said, why don't you stay at our house tonight after youth on the Friday? I said, okay. I stayed there. And she said, why don't you stay tomorrow night as well? And then you can come to church in the morning. I was like, okay. And I did that. And then the next week, they said, why don't you stay over the couple of nights? And so I did that. I ate their food. They had a spare bedroom and I stayed there. And then the next week, I did that as well. And then the next week, they said, why don't you stay over? And the next week, and I did that for 2 years. I did about 2 years, like just staying there eating the food. I never bought food once. I think back now, I think, man, how rude was I? But we sat on the couch for 2 years. I didn't have a TV. So we sat on the couch and we listened to dodgy 90s Christian music. And we talked about God. And they talked to me about my language. And they talked to me about my attitude. And they talked to me about a whole bunch of stuff. And over a long period of time, they slowly discipled me. You see, our number one task on this earth is Jesus' last words to us. We go and make disciples. Go into all the world and all the primary schools and the youth ministries and the aged care facilities and your neighbor's house and make disciples. We don't scoop them up from the local Baptist church. We don't scoop them up from some other place down the road. And we don't scoop them up and just go, oh, we'll just take the ready-made ones, the ones that are already baked. It's go and make disciples. And make is a sweat word. And make is an energy word. And make is a money word. And make is a time word. And make is a bake a cake word. And make is a go there the next day as well word. And make is a phone that, make that phone call again, even though the first time it was a bit flat word. Make is all of those words. It's a sweat word. It's a hard work word. It's a keep going word. It's a keep climbing up the mountain word. Even when you feel like you're winning, it's that thing that you get, eventually you get to the top of the mountain, you look around, you say, I've made some disciples. Oh God, thank you. We can't just scoop them up. It's not the way it works. The thing that I love about this story of Mephibosheth, David was expressing the heart of God. He said, is there anyone to whom I can show kindness? Is there anyone to whom I can be kind to? Is there someone? LMC, this side or that side, right at the back. Is there someone you can show kindness this week? Not once, but just keep going. Get that ball rolling of discipleship. Show the love of God by showing the kindness of God in your actions. I ask you to close your eyes. Mephibosheth, it's so weird in our today, and you know, today with our sort of careful language. The end of this story of Mephibosheth finishes with the words, he was lame in both feet. It's like the writer almost can't get it out of his head. And this guy was busted up. And we are busted up. We are all sinners saved by grace. The story of David and Mephibosheth is an amazing story of the grace of God. Mephibosheth didn't need to get better before he was invited to the king's table. Because there was grace at the table. I would hate for anybody to go home today and go back to Lodabar, back to a place of no communication with God, back to a place of no pastor, no fruitfulness. I came to church, I sung some songs. I saw some kids eat lollies. I heard a few words and I went back to Lodabar. I'd hate for that to happen, but we do it. We do it. So many people come to church, have a praise sandwich, and then we go home. There's room at the table for you. There's an invitation at the table for you this morning. I'm talking to kids who, young people and teenagers and young adults who, church is a way of life. But we're called to follow the way, not the way of life. We're called to follow Jesus. Talking to adults, so you've been coming for a long time, some of you. But there's a call to the King's table. Don't go back to a place of no communication. Everyone's eyes closed. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you find yourself in Lodabar, if you find yourself in a place of no communication with God, if you find yourself in a place where it feels unfruitful, it just feels hard, you don't feel like you're winning, you just feel like it's a struggle, there's an invitation to the King's table. There's an invitation to the King's table that will be there for all time. And all you need to do is embrace it and say, Jesus, I'm walking your way. I'm going with you. No one looking around. If that's you this morning, you say, I'm going to accept that invitation to the King's table. I'm coming out of Lodabar. Why don't you quickly raise your hand in the air? I'm going to pray for you. It's fantastic. Good. Good. Who else? Yes. Wonderful. Good decisions. Good decisions. After you've raised your hand, just put that hand on your heart. Press firm. Press firm. Because it's going to make a difference to you. Not because of the words I say, but because of the King who's issued the invitation. Anyone else, if you want to join, there's many, many hands that went up. If that's you, put your hand on your heart and press hard like you mean it. Everyone in the place, pray this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the King. Today, I accept your invitation. I'm coming out of no communication. I'm coming out of a place of no fruitfulness. And I'm coming to a full life with you. Whatever that means, Jesus, I'm ready for it. Amen. Beautiful. We're going to finish, but just before we do, one last challenge. It starts with a question. Is there anyone I can show kindness to? We got a lot of stuff coming up in church and all around, carol services and all sorts of things. Is there anyone you can show kindness to? You got your Christmas dinner coming up. Is there anyone you can show kindness to? You've got other things going on. Beautiful time of year. Who can you show kindness to? Who can you can begin that discipleship process rolling just by your kindness? Father, help us and inspire us. Help us to remember that kindness makes a difference. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.